Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. And today we've got over 1,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be talking measurement to Senior Marketing Manager at Pegasystems, Matthew Kent, to the VP of Marketing at Global Processing Systems, Sumeet Vamani, to Global CRM Director at Namecheap, Jonathan Kahn, and to the founder and CEO at OST Marketing, Luke Brinley-Jones. Ready? Then let's cut to the chase. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in business marketing land. And we've reached M, and M stands for measurement. Four experts will talk on the topic today, starting with the Senior Marketing Manager at Pegasystems, Matthew Kent. Matthew, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much for inviting me to share my thoughts with you. So as Dave mentioned, my name is Matthew Kent. I'm a Senior Marketing Manager at Pegasystems, or Pega for short. So firstly, who are Pega? I think it's worthwhile me kind of going through who we are before I talk about the topic at hand, because I think that kind of really sets the scene for why I'm talking about measurement through the lens of account-based marketing, or ABM, as it's affectionately known. So Pegasystems, or Pega for short, we're almost a 40-year-old enterprise software company based out of Boston, Massachusetts in the US. And we deliver innovative software that helps large, complex organizations crush business complexity. So the fact that I mentioned the words large, complex organizations gives you a clue as to why we have a focus on account-based marketing at Pega, and it will kind of give you a clue as to why I'm talking about some of the measurements, which I'll come on to. So as I said, we're an enterprise software company targeting large, complex organizations in banking, insurance, telecommunications, and central government. And why account-based marketing? Well, so to my mind, account-based marketing, for those of you who aren't familiar with it as an approach, to me, it's a strategic approach that combines targeted, insight-led marketing with sales to increase mind share, drive growth, and strengthen relationships in specific accounts. And also building on that, there are four key principles as I see it. It's about being client-centric and being led by insight. It's about being taking an outside-in approach to the way you engage and sell to your accounts. It's about marketing and sales alignment. It's about pipeline, but it's also and revenue, but it's also about kind of reputation and relationships, very much kind of the leading indicators that get you to that end goal of revenue. And it's all about tailoring and personalization and personalizing what you do as well. So to my mind, if you're not doing those four things, it's not really account-based marketing, or at least it doesn't live up to the nirvana that ABM tries to enable us all to deliver. So that's a little bit about Pega and kind of why account-based marketing. And so when it comes to measurement specifically, for those of you who've gone through the ITSMA training or who live and breathe ABM right now, when we think about ABM, really, it's kind of, and the rise of ABM, it's forced us as marketers to rethink how we measure the impact of what we do. Traditionally, rather than kind of focusing on activities and metrics and marketing qualified leads, or MQLs as we used to call them at Pega about 5 years ago when we actually measured them, we're now kind of shifting our measurement, our metrics, to much more account-based kind of metrics and measurements. So thinking about advocacy and kind of pipeline contribution and win rates and deal size and funnel velocity. There's a whole raft of measures and business kind of outcomes, and that's crucial, business outcomes that we look to measure through account-based marketing. You know, but not all revenue is kind of created equal. ABM is about driving growth with kind of new types of solutions. It's helping, it's trying to take those kind of top priority kind of markets and accounts and how do we grow them and to add, be more important contributors to the business. So to move ABM from, you know, to really being a driving force for strategic growth, we as ABMers think about measuring what we do along the lines of the three R's. And the three R's stands for revenue, reputation, and relationships. So why revenue, reputation, and relationships? Well, it's always a huge challenge because, you know, us as marketers, we're always trying to ensure that we're delivering impact to the business. Otherwise, why are we here? You know, we hear a lot about kind of return on investment or marketing return on investment. But we don't, to kind of move forward, we should be thinking about those kind of vanity-based kind of marketing outputs and metrics that we've done in the past. So as I said, ABM and how you measure ABM focuses on the three R's. And I'll just kind of touch on those briefly before I go into, well, what kind of things could we measure under those three kind of pillars? So the first one I'm going to talk about is relationships. So when I think about relationships, you know, are we building strong, mutually beneficial, long-standing relationships with the right influencers, recommenders, and decision makers in the accounts we care about? So that's what I mean when I talk about relationships. When I think about reputation, it's all about, are we strengthening our reputation within the account? How do they perceive us? Are they evangelizing on our behalf? And clearly revenue probably goes without saying, but, you know, are we generating or supporting revenue that is strategic to the account? So a little bit of an explanation about the three R's and why we focus on them from an ABM perspective. So to drill into those a little bit more, I'll focus on relationships first. So as I mentioned, you know, I work for an enterprise software company that probably only has about 500 target accounts across the globe. So it's a relatively small list of accounts that we go after. And, you know, for companies like Pega, when it comes to relationships, you know, we're selling high value solutions with long sales cycles, typically in the order of 12 months. The average order value of what we're selling is at least $750,000. And obviously to sell those complex solutions to those large organizations where you're having to engage a number of people over a long period of time, clearly you need to be looking at, are we moving a needle when it comes to those relationships we're trying to establish, foster, and strengthen over time? So so when it comes to relationships, that's kind of why we're doing it, why we think about the importance of measuring the quality of our relationships. But what does that mean in reality in terms of how can you measure whether you're making improvements in that area? So at Pega, we look at things like, we ask ourselves questions such as, you know, how many senior level contacts in that account do we have in our database? How many of those are visiting our website? How many of those are consuming our content? Are we having meetings with those people? Are they attending our webinars and events? And are they consuming our thought leadership content? So there's a whole raft of things, of data points there that, if you're as lucky as what I am in Pega to be able to have access to that data, then why not capture it? Measuring, benchmarking those data points, measuring them over time helps you, you know, gives you an idea as to whether your ABM kind of activities and plans and programs are contributing in that area. I'll move on to the second one, which is reputation. So, you know, with ABM, this isn't about creating general market awareness. That's what I don't want to talk about, high level awareness when we talk about reputation. It's about building the right types of reputation with the right people in the accounts you're targeting. So when it comes to reputation, the things that we look at Pega in terms of measuring, yeah, how do key stakeholders perceive us? So we do, you know, client surveys. When we win a deal or when we lose a deal, we're kind of interviewing the people that we've engaged with throughout the sales cycle to understand, what do we do well? What didn't we do well? How can we improve? What's their brand perception of us? Every year we do a major brand survey to benchmark us against our competitors and to see if we're appearing more favourably in the areas that we wish to. Are we moving the needle with them with those stakeholders in the way that we want to? Are they providing references and becoming advocates for us? Are they speaking at our events and webinars? All those things are examples that can give you a gauge as to whether your reputation with those people in the accounts you're targeting is moving in the right direction. And lastly, the third R, and probably the most important one, is revenue. And that's a lot easier to measure, I would suspect. Most organizations, in fact, most of the people who are listening to this work for organizations that will have a CRM system or a sales automation system. So looking at kind of revenue pipeline and how that's converting to revenue is relatively straightforward and probably the most important. But so measuring the impact of ABM on revenue, it's not easy, despite having those systems in place, especially when you work for organizations like I do and you're selling highly complex solutions. Marketing attribution is a perennial issue, which we very much still contend with. But it's hard to measure and kind of prove how ABM directly created a new opportunity or played a crucial role in closing that deal. So there is no silver bullet to say that ABM is the panacea to all of your revenue problems, or there is no easy way of saying we did this and it resulted in that. But I don't think I think attribution, whilst it's very, very hard to prove, I think the point of ABM is it's about alignment. When it comes to ABM, what matters most, it's about building alignment with sales and any wider account teams, any role in an organization is interacting with the client so that your ABM programs are focused on the same outcomes as they're focused on, and they're perceived as making a significant contribution to overall success. So I said it's about alignment as well as measuring and reporting on what matters most, aligned to those three pillars of the three R's: revenue, reputation, and relationships. So that's a little bit about kind of who I am, who I work for, and kind of why measuring the three R's is so important to us. And I think in terms of some hints and tips that I'd like to share with the audience, I think for those of you who don't feel like you're doing a great job right now in terms of measuring what you do and communicating that with the right people in your organization, and you may not have the right cadence in place, where do you start? Well, if you're an organization who is thinking about ABM as a strategic approach for you, I've talked about the three R's, but I think look at what data is available to you in your organization. Look in your CRM system, speak to your web team, speak to your inside sales team, and interact with your sales automation team. Just look at all the various data points that are available to you and then try and map them to the three R's. It will probably be a really long list, and you're probably thinking, how could we possibly measure all of this? But I think do a bit of an audit in terms of what data and metrics are available to you. Once you've got those data points and you've kind of aligned them to the three R's, I would then try and think about how would I rationalize that list to maybe a smaller list in a way that's meaningful and it's going to have the most impact as we go ahead on our ABM journey. And I think the best way to do that is to engage sales leaders, engage anyone who interacts with the client, because if it's not important to them, it's going to fail. If you're reporting on marketing metrics such as if you're looking solely at those metrics alone, such as web visits or form submissions or event attendees, if you can bet your bottom dollar that at some point that the sales leaders and the account teams you're working with are going to be questioning whether what you're doing is actually having a material impact to that common goal that you're trying to achieve. So measurement audit, gain that kind of alignment agreement with sales leaders that you're measuring the things that they care about, I would say. So that's what I would suggest if you're kind of about to start your journey with kind of measuring ABM. I think if you're already down that path, then this is probably not new news to you. But I think one of the lessons that I've learned personally is about it's not good enough to purely have those measures in place and to have the best looking, most interactive, most visually appealing scorecard or Excel report that you can possibly come up with. The cadence around that is more important than anything. When I mean cadence, maybe it's an American term that we use in Pega, but it's about do I have a solid stakeholder management plan in place to ensure that the outcomes we're delivering are communicated effectively, coherently, and regularly enough to ensure that the people that are benefiting from my activity and ultimately the people who are going to fund more ABM investment know what I'm doing? Do they believe in what I'm doing? Do they get a feel that the ABM activities, we're moving the needle across the three R's I talked about earlier? So if you're on that journey, if you've got a good report in place, really think about your stakeholder management plan. Who are the people that need to know about what I'm doing? Am I speaking to them often enough? Are we aligned? Are we moving in the right direction? Do I know where we're kind of going in kind of 1 or 2 years out, so I can kind of be ahead of the curve with regards to my measurement of my ABM activities? So that's really kind of where I wanted to kind of, what I want to kind of share with everyone today in terms of my thoughts on ABM and kind of how we're measuring the impact of what we do in PEGA. And thank you, Dave, for giving me the opportunity to share this insight and knowledge with your audience.
Well, great start. Matt Ken, thank you very much. Our second measurement expert is the VP of Marketing at Global Processing Services, Sumeet Vamani. Sumeet, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. So when Dave asked me to come and speak to you all about measurement, it really took me on a journey of delving back into the depths of my experience in B2B marketing and really seeing and understanding what modern marketing looks like today. And so really want to focus heavily on sort of that journey and kind of where the opportunities lie and where the pitfalls are as you try and build out a measurement strategy for your business. And with the role of marketing ever expanding, and with that explosion of digital for many of us through COVID and the evolution of channels that now sit under sort of most of our marketing departments, you'd be remiss for wondering where to start if you haven't got a measurement sort of framework in place. And whilst the world of lead generation, marketing qualified leads and sales qualified leads has long been at the heart of B2B, the increasing use of content marketing, social media, ABM, and more refreshingly for most of us, brand, is seeing the world of B2B measurement evolve at a breakneck speed. When you start to add in conversational marketing, audio as we are today, and voice, the number of possible data points could quickly become overwhelming and could require a small team of people just to wade through it and understand. The crux of the issue lies in the why and the what of measurement. Failure to measure marketing metrics affects your whole business, and there's little understanding of what other departments need for marketing, and budgets can get misspent due to the confused links between marketing results and revenue gained. Your team needs to understand their marketing metrics, ensuring they gather all the measurements required to effectively evolve marketing efforts. Having a clear metrics-based approach provides credibility with everyone within the business. It demonstrates that you as a marketer have a deep understanding of your function, understand what does or doesn't drive performance, signals that there's a science and a logic to decision-making, can showcase marketing as a growth engine for the business, delivering a little bit more than just leads or putting on events. As with any marketing activity, you really need to be clear on the objective of your measurement approach. Would these metrics be used to deliver competitive insights to the business? Do you need to deliver a revenue number? Are you purely measuring to your own team's marketing performance? Depending on that objective, will require a different approach. Could mean multifaceted frameworks required to meet multiple business needs. Your objectives are key. There's no point in measuring for measuring's sake. It has to ladder up to something. In my opinion, the higher sort of echelon of that is revenue. Revenue, revenue, revenue. This should be at the heart of any marketeer's measurement strategy. Lead generation, marketing qualified leads, sales qualified leads, engagement, etc., mean nothing if they don't convert into something that drives the revenue performance or shift perception in the marketplace that attracts revenue opportunity. Sales generation over lead generation every time. If you're starting out, just make sure marketing qualified leads are set up correctly. Measuring marketing qualified leads against sales and understanding conversion in depth, being clear to leadership about the value of marketing qualified leads, is the beginning. It starts with educating everyone on the importance of marketing, a clear marketing journey, and the value of long-lasting customer conversations to ensure you're measuring in a way that the business will understand and builds awareness of how marketing and sales operates in harmony to drive the customer through the traditional funnel. Taking this on to begin truly integrating your digital and offline data into a single source of truth, be that website data, search, PPC, social media, online events, more recently intent data or partnerships, should be amalgamated, if possible, into one single source of truth. Having this single source of truth will mean the data and the measurement of that data could be interrogated and can form the basis, the frameworks you need to be successful. For this to be truly effective, you need the right technology. A MarTech stack that's able to ensure secure capture of first and third party data, passing data between platforms, and powering your overall marketing activity that can be attributed to business return. Marketing automation platforms, intent data platforms, tag management solutions, customer data platforms, but you name it, they're all out there. And you could be sold a million of them to operate your measurement strategy. But they are key enablers in the B2B marketing's armory for what modern marketing needs to be today. While having the data and technology in place, you're now in a place that it's about interrogating and setting up the right elements to capture the data that matters. As an example, for ABM marketing, account level data and contextual data are important, if not more, than individual contact data, depending on the approach and stage of your ABM journey. Multi-tiered lead quality information is needed for B2B sales, where the context you're operating in can often mean longer deal cycles. Importantly, as I said earlier, sort of brand is now playing an increasingly crucial role in B2B marketing, where for a long time it was often ignored part of marketing, overlooked by short-term lead generation as the key to unlocking the marketing budget in your organization. The Salesforce really talked about a study that showed that 2/3 of the time when a business decision maker purchases software, they already have a brand in mind. And 94% of the time, the buyer ends up sticking with that brand. So if you're not part of the original consideration set, there's no way you're getting bought. Unaided awareness and measuring brand marketing has become a downstream business problem that's shifting their approach to more brand marketing. Equally, the B2B Institute has recently advocated for a measure called Access Share of Voice, measuring share of advertising expenditure in your category, demonstrating increases being tied to increase in market share, which is a financial metric any CFO can get on board with. More recently, a newer measurement trend has been able to show share of search volume versus competitors in your category that replicates real-life market share, highlighting that brand and digital measurement are becoming more integrated in this space. And so while you have the kind of key tenets of measurement there, I'll round off by sort of highlighting what I see as a real potential pitfall for anyone who's starting out or in the process of developing their measurement framework strategy. The biggest pitfall I see moving forward is around first party and third party data. With the rules around cookies, data privacy, the challenge to marketers around how and what we measure, access to digital platforms, walled gardens, and the need to pay to play is going to be the biggest challenge that we all face as we try and build out robust measurement models that are enabling marketers to be successful in their businesses for today and tomorrow.
Sumeet Vamani, thank you very much. Our third measurement expert is the Global CRM Director at Namecheap, Jonathan Cann. Jonathan, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, David. So, I've been in marketing for over 20 years or so, with a number of size companies, big, small, all different in their qualities of measurement, all different in their techniques. I'm pretty well known within my team, my company, always asking about the numbers, always asking about how do we measure success? And it was drilled into me really through growing up within the mobile phone industry. Did 10, 12 years in there. And that's when normally get asked first thing in the morning, normally Monday, before you've had your first cup of coffee, what's your retention numbers or what's your acquisition numbers? And normally it's even before you opened your laptop. So it's always been drilled into me, numbers, measurement, and then the vitally important, and they've always been. So metrics with marketing, let's take it back to the basics. Why measure? So basically, as marketers, we need to justify our budgets, our wages, why a company of any size will invest in our plans and hopes, and sometimes dreams. Every year, my team does a return on investment analysis. Basically, how much my team makes versus how much my team costs. Very, very simple. This is basics on wages, technology, and other costs. Basically, I am justifying my team's existence. So why measure? Well, justify your budget and your wage. Are you spending your budget in the right way? Does your initiative drive growth? What are you learning? And why do you need your budget for the next year? So that's great, but where do you start from? I think the key starting point, and often is forgotten, is what's the destination of the business? Where are you going? Is it growing, solidifying? Is it trying to sell? Is it trying to sell itself? Now, I worked in a business which was trying to sell itself, had set up itself to sell, and it had a offer on the table. And the only thing the company wanted to get to was a base size of 500,000. That was the only thing, the only metric, which was great because you had a lovely juicy target to aim for. But we threw everything at this. And then the cost of acquisition became irrelevant because we were actually buying customers for £200. We got to the base size, but it all shows the destination drives your metric and your action. So once your destination is clear, and sometimes that's not the easiest job in the world, but then you have to align your metrics behind those. And these are the key metrics. You get a mixture of revenue, new customers, sales, churn, obviously cost is in there, but you have to align yourself behind that big metric, mainly because if you don't, your projects can potentially fall at the first hurdle, fall at that getting that justification, because you have to justify why you're doing it, align it with the destination. And if you don't, it's a huge waste of time, huge waste of resource and planning. So once you have this clear destination, then comes the ideas. That's when marketeers normally become alive, because then they start to think, new brand position, new products, big campaigns. We want to invest in different channels. In my world, it's new marketing technology. We need new technology. But how do you measure their effectiveness? What does success look like? Again, a phrase that is traveled around with me from job to job is, what is the key success metrics? The key challenge is linking those programs, those ideas back to the dollar. Sadly, I've been working in an American company, so I always speak in dollars rather than pounds. But how much is those ideas going to generate? So with so much data available, tons of data available, new techniques coming out of your ears, this should become easier and easier and easier. The days of asking for investment and no measurement should really now be gone. You should actually delivering a program is not good enough. If you can't measure it, why are you doing it? You basically are hoping for success rather than measuring success. Now, every channel can be measured. Social, advertising, email. And for that reason, for every pound you invest, you should be generating an outcome. For e-commerce companies like myself, where I work, this is fairly simple. But for B2B companies, much more with a long lead time, much more difficult. You need to understand the metrics and then link it to pound to conversion rate. Now, for example, what we get caught up in is the smaller metrics like email open rate. Now, that's fine. It's good. It shows delivery. But if your email is there to drive sales, actually, how effective is it? You've got to measure the email open rate. It's not good enough. It's the pound. It's the sell at the end. It's exactly the same with traffic to your website. Often it said, we've got great big traffic numbers. But actually, did they drive sales? Are you attracting the right customer? So some of these critical elements is, obviously, identify your objective for your program, measure to that. Some of the smaller metrics are good. then you come back to, well, okay, how do you manage measurement? Initially, it's what data do you have? First point of call is how much data, what data do you have? Google Analytics, a treasure trove of information for any online business. Start there. Second question, does your data support your business metric? Does your data actually provide you with that direction, provide you with those clues in the direction you want to go? Then have you got a balanced metric? Because often, and my company is one of those, we look at the short-term number. We look at the numbers through the, firstly, how many sales, traffic, as I just mentioned, all of these great things. New customers. Oh, great, we've got new customers. And that's fine on every day. That's great. But actually, how long are they lasting? What's your lifetime value? And for those who don't know what lifetime value is, it's basically the looking at how much profit a single customer will provide, which generate the lifetime of the product. The key ingredient to lifetime value, and is my personal favorite metric, is retention. So how long will a customer last with you? So you need not only your short-term quick win numbers, but also to get that balanced scorecard, you need the lifetime value, retention, as well as quick sales, new customers. That will give you a view across the board. The other piece about managing measurement, I would say, is live and breathe the numbers. It's something that my company do very, very well, is you look at the trends over time. Because this is a key indicator of something could be wrong. If they're going up and down, you can actually spot it. You can spot spikes and you go, how do we justify that spike? Do we know? And it starts to get you into the micro numbers, the small little details, which can make a significant impact. Again, in the e-commerce world, where I'm coming from, that's really, really important. Because you can spot when there's a product issue. You can spot when your system's gone down, or your retention angle, your emails are not flying out the door. You can spot it quite quickly if you stare at the numbers and you look at those trends. But also look about what's happening tomorrow. Can you predict what's going to happen next? This is where data science plays a pretty big role. And there are many data scientists, which have much bigger brains than myself, and I don't claim to be one at all, but I've seen data scientists start to forecast where you're going to be in 6 months, potentially where you're going to be in 2 years. It's very difficult at the moment with the environment that we are today. And I imagine their forecast has got thrown out the window about 2 years ago, but use that analytics to start to predict where you're going to get to. But your biggest challenge about managing metrics is not the numbers, it's not the data, it's about people. Because actually, the company is the broad, but it's got to get broad buy-in across the whole company, mainly because, and they're very different people. People have different opinions, different challenges, different targets. Yeah, marketing will have different views to your sales, which will have different views to customer service, which will have different views for technology. And if everyone's not playing to the same business destination, going back to the right at the start, it's a slightly harder sale. So once you have all that management measurement sorted out, happy sailing, everything's easy, he says. But there are a couple of really big pitfalls here. There's so much data out there. You can get your hands on it from every different angle, but that's a problem in its own right. And also most companies, including ours, have limited resources to look at that data. So measure for a reason. And the reason I say that is you've got to, I have a person who works with me who likes to measure. She really, really loves to measure. She wants, oh, that'd be great to have that insight. But the comment comes about, what are you going to use that insight for? Because if you don't, you will waste a huge amount of resource to get a lovely bit of information. But if you're never going to use it, it's completely wasted and that resource is wasted. And the other problem is with so much marketing technology out there, are your systems aligned? If sales are using one system, marketing are using another, are they calibrated in the same way? Mixing measurements from different systems can be very, very difficult, and you generate very, very misleading information. So who does it well? Now, I think it's a really challenging question there, because most people do the basics really well. Many people are employed to look at measurements, how people are performing. But companies that do it yet well use their measurements to drive business decisions or create marketing propositions based on that customer insight. Now, there's two companies, probably very well known companies, but very well known case studies. Starbucks is a good one. They listed or linked customer satisfaction to actual revenue. A 5% increase in customer satisfaction, 5% increase in customer retention led to over 25% increase in profit. So the business objective was growth, but rather than invest in acquisition campaigns, branding, promotions, they actually invested in training and they invested in loyalty programs. Interestingly, the lifetime value of Starbucks customer is over $5,000 in the States. I've actually seen another calculation over $14,000. And this is basically because the customer retention rate is 75%. Lifespan of a Starbucks customer is 20 years, which is amazing. This is an example of using measurement to create an insight and then investing in that. The other one, Amazon Prime. Now, I am an Amazon Prime customer and I know the benefits of it. But the idea was of Amazon Prime is you link the customer issue of speed of delivery to a loyalty campaign. That was one of the main pain points, is people didn't understand when something was going to be delivered and they wanted it now. Amazon now have become actually the forefront of that delivery proposition. But they're linking something a customer wanted to a yearly figure. So in the States, at that period of time, it was a $99 investment just to get my delivery benefit the following day. And the lifetime value of an Amazon Prime customer doubled to $1,300 just by that. And so that allowed them to invest more and more into that proposition. So now it's not just delivery, it's media, now it's music, a variety of other things. And this is a great example of using customer insight, creating a proposition, and then measuring it, and using that measure to reinvest into it. So to summarize, a couple of tips on marketing measurement. Align your KPIs with business direction. Measure what you do, prove it, and then your team are worth it. Balance your short-term metrics with your long-term metrics to give you a full view. And your biggest challenge will be people, different teams, and not the numbers themselves.
Jonathan Cann, thank you very much. Our fourth measurement expert is founder and CEO at OST Marketing, Luke Brinley-Jones. Luke, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. So just to say, I mean, at OST Marketing, we work mainly with large tech B2B brands on social media. That's all we do. So social media measurement is definitely my thing. And you've given me a few pointers here, Dave, so let me dive in. First one is really how to manage for measurement. So there's three things really I'd start with on this. First one is the obvious one, really. You need a measurement strategy and you need different metrics, or you need to focus on different metrics for different objectives. And you'd be surprised how many companies don't separate out their social media based on their objectives. So if you're after lead gen, focus on the lead side of things. If you're after awareness, focus on the engagement, the reach side of things. Second thing is really about developing a measurement framework. So we have a model that we work to. It's very simple. There's only four columns to it. The first one is your objectives. So you have down there, let's say, brand awareness. Second one is you put in your tactics. So let's say we're going to use videos and polls to drive engagement. Third one really is around the KPIs. So breaking that down into specific KPIs you want to measure, like engagement rate or video views, for example. And then the fourth one is where you put your targets in. So you actually hold yourself to account and say, right, we're going to increase the engagement rate by 5%. We're going to get, you know, a million video views per month up until 50% through the video, stuff like that. So this simple framework, if you can get buy-in across the business for it, and certainly with your senior execs, it ties goals as KPIs and metrics right the way back to your objectives. And I think if you can get that bought in, then you're off to a good start. And the third thing to do when you first set out is to set out your content pillars. And the content pillar approach really is around getting granular metrics on your social media posts so that you can then hone your content and give your audience more of what they like. And there's really four steps to doing this. And I'm speaking now for sophisticated businesses that are using social media management platforms and tools. So the likes of Sprinklr, Hootsuite, Sprout Social, those kind of platforms. And really you need to be using one of those to get this kind of depth. But what you can do is you can identify your posts and tag them by different qualities. So by topic, maybe, you know, sustainability, AI, innovation, whatever you're into, by type. So whether it's a video post, an engagement post, a link post, et cetera, or maybe by objective. So this is a thought leadership type post or a product awareness type post. You can then, and this is behind the scenes, so you can tag them with that within your platform so it's not visible to the viewers of your posts. You can then look at the metrics and slice and dice by what you care about, you know, by these different post types, by these different objectives. And really that lets you experiment with your posts. And so let's say you want to dial up your engagement posts on LinkedIn and see what happens to your engagement rate, see what happens to your clicks, etc. And it's by getting this granular that you can start to systematically move the dials on each channel and develop per channel strategies that really work for those audiences on each social channel. So those three things, really, if you get those set up in the first place, a strategy, measurement framework, content pillar set up, you are set up for measurement on social. So second thing Dave prompted me with was, what are the latest trends? Measurement doesn't move very quickly, I will say. In fact, the only ongoing measurement trend there's been in social media is that the social networks have taken away our data bit by bit. It used to be much easier. The one thing that we're looking at a lot now is share of voice. So the percentage of people talking about a topic in relation to your brand. And the data challenge is still there. So Twitter is the core channel where we can really get this data. And a lot of B2B businesses say, oh, I'm not that interested in Twitter. Our audience isn't there. But the key thing is your influencer audience will be there. So all the conference speakers, all the journalists, all the media types, they will be on Twitter. So what you can do is identify a subset of these people, let's say, you know, 100 of the people you care about in this space. Again, use one of the monitoring tools. Most of the sophisticated tools will enable you to do this, to identify specific accounts that you want to monitor and put in keywords that you're interested if they mention. So, you know, digital transformation and your brand name, for example. You can then monitor your impact on those individuals and how much they talk about your brand in relation to that keyword. So, you know, we've done this for many of our clients over the years. And the fascinating thing is you can see that as soon as you set this up and then you start to engage with those influencers, you can see the dial go up and they start to mention you and engage with you. So it's well worth doing if you can. We use a platform called Analytica for this often. It's a great platform for that kind of stuff, but lots of them do it. My third prompt was, who does this well? Again, really difficult to tell because nobody shares their data on this stuff. And, you know, certainly the ones that aren't doing a good job don't. The one company, or the companies you can look out for this, are the ones that employ social media agencies, so specific agencies that are specialists in this, like us, or have their own in-house analysts, so social analysts. So Sage, for example, the accountancy software firm, they have a guy called Chris Thomas who works there, who's one of the best in the business. And so I know that their analytics framework is brilliant. And so if you can get to look at what Sage do, they do talk about it sometimes, I recommend you do that. So one of my last questions, a second from last, was what are the pitfalls to avoid with social media measurement? So first one is that you take control of your own data. So don't rely on what the social networks will give you. Create your own dashboard, find the data you want and put it into the dashboard. You need to capture your own data, not get what you're given, because they'll give you a lot of guff that you don't really need. Second one is, sounds obvious, but don't switch between metrics based on which ones are doing well. And we often see this. Sadly, our cousins in the PR space will choose the most beautiful metrics, depending on what's going well. Actually, you need to stick to the metrics, take the rough with the smooth and really improve them. Otherwise, you never will. The third one really is understanding that if you have an impact on a positive impact on one metric, it is quite likely to negatively impact another. So, for example, if you start using more video, which lots of people have done in the last couple of years, to drive engagement, your clicks will drop because you won't be doing click content. Similarly, if you go for click content, your engagement level will drop off. And you need to understand that, and your senior execs need to understand that, so they don't, you know, have a hissy fit when the metrics drop off a cliff. And then lastly, a little tip, I would do half monthly reports instead of just monthly reports. So check how things are going halfway through the month so that you can fix stuff by the end of the month, if that's when you're being sort of reviewed by. Cool. So the very last question was how to get started. So the simple thing to do is do a little mini audit. So look at your channels. I would suggest the last 3 to 6 months, focus on the engagement rate that you're getting per post, and pick out the best posts that you've got, put them up on the wall, pick out the worst posts by engagement rate, put them up as well. And then you can start to see, you know, the difference in where you're going wrong and going right. And then try some new stuff out. So the key thing is to actually try to impact on what's going on based on the data. So try something, measure it again in a month's time, see how it's gone, and then you'll start to learn and improve. So those are my tips. That's it, Dave.
Founder and CEO at OST Marketing, Luke Brinley-Jones. Thanks very much. And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Matthew Kent, Sameet Vamani, Jonathan Kahn, and Luke Brinley-Jones. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn, and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.